Amen. Well, I'm excited to continue our August series. August is a bit of a transition month every year. That is very literally the case at City View this year, with a lot of staff changes and things going on. People are coming back from summer break. Some people are getting their last minute trips in. August, you just kind of readjust to a new season of life. And then Labor Day is kind of that last, you know, end of the summer era. So we're actually going to have a special night of prayer and worship on Labor Day weekend this year for the first time. So just for the month of August, we're doing a four-week series to kind of get us ready for the fall. We're talking about the idea this month of advance. We really want to think about, in this four-week series, how can we advance the mission of God? Just kind of a reminder, as we're coming out of the summer and moving forward, that's something that we always want to keep the forefront of our mind here at City View. So in 4 weeks, we're looking at advance, exploring four steps to take that we can take to advance the mission of God. So each week, we'll look at a step, just as a reminder of, here's a step that you can take to move the mission of God forward as far as you being able to be a part of that. So last week, we discussed the importance of us knowing our role. And our role in the church, all of us, our role in God's mission, first and foremost, is that of a servant. We become servants of God. We serve wherever He wants us, for whatever season He has us in. We talked a little bit about that this week. Tonight, we're going to discuss faith as kind of a next step. Let me ask you a question. I don't know how many of you are like active on social media, but I've noticed, I think this was on Facebook, so it may miss part of the generation here, but on Facebook, I did notice this video of a family. It was like around Christmas time. They're playing a prank on one of their kids, and so he wasn't like super small, but he wasn't old enough or large enough where they couldn't pick him up, and so what they had done is the whole family's in the living room, and they had blindfolded one of their sons, and they put him on a board, maybe it was like a 2x6, so he had enough balance, but they could lift him up, so maybe an older brother and a dad are holding him on the board, mom and sister in there, and somebody's filming. And what they're trying to do is kind of like one of those trust kind of things, they're going to get him to jump or whatever, but it's also like an illusion because they're kind of like playing with his balance. And so they get him on this board, and they're holding on the sides like trying to move him up and down, but he's blindfolded, so he can't tell like how high he is. And so they're kind of holding and moving him a little bit to make him feel like he's gone up more than he really has. And then the mom is behind him holding like a different board to make it feel like that his head hit the ceiling. And they're like, all right, you're there. You know, then they stop. They're like, okay, no, in just a minute, we want you to jump, but you can't jump up. You got to jump forward. And he's actually like this high off the ground, you know, so they just made him think he's like at the top of the ceiling. And so he's like, goes to jump, and he like just falls, you know, obviously, because he takes in his mind a big jump, and he literally just hits the ground and rolls. So they're all laughing. Thankfully, had like a really good sense of humor, and obviously felt like a good family dynamic. They have like this kick, you know, and it's all funny or whatever. And it made me think a little bit about, that's how some of our people feel like what it's like to take a leap of faith when it comes to following God. There's some level of familiarity with the people, so there's a level of trust, but you're blindfolded, so there's also this level of fear. And both of those things are kind of there in your relationship with God. And some people feel like that's what it's like to just leap out with God and take this leap of faith. It's like, I'm blindfolded. I don't know. I'm jumping into the abyss. I don't know where I'm going, but God's going to catch me and take this, you know, this big leap of faith. There's some level of trust, but I'm still fearful. And, you know, friends or family, somebody's like having to coax you into like jumping into like this mission or jumping into obedience. Sometimes people think like pastors or ministry leaders, maybe even like faithful friends are like cheer you on. And like that's part of what we do, like cheer people on in mission to take step of obedience. But they feel like, and that's not wrong. Like that's a good thing to have people cheer you on toward obedience or risk or boldness with Christ. But what I want us to do tonight is to remove the blindfold. To take the blindfold off and realize like that you can take the jump. I don't think my job as a pastor is to like get you to like the end of the diving board and like push you in. And some people have, like think that's what like ministry is, or like you're about to go bungee jumping but you're too scared, so like pastor has to kick you off and like that's, you have to have that to like go follow God. Like I don't think that's probably a healthy view of ministry or leadership or what we want to cultivate in the culture here at City View. This is, I don't think that's my job to coerce you into mission. Here's my goal. I want to paint a picture of what God says, why we can trust Him, and make the vision of mission so clear that you're compelled toward obedience. That like the blindfold is removed. I'm not jumping into this scary place. It's fearful because I don't know everything, but I am trusting. It's a Father that I'm following. And this is a God that I have seen work, and you're compelled by the mission that He's calling you into, that we can take a step of faith and boldness. And so it's not like the family dynamic where it's silly and like you're not really sure. No, tonight we want to remove the blindfold. And it's like, you're not following God blindly unless you just don't know how to read the Bible. And in that case, I'm glad you're here because we're going to help you do that. So we don't follow God blindly, we follow God in faith. And that's what the title of tonight's message is, Step Out in Faith. And I think that's required for mission. So I'm going to read from what we call the Great Commission. It's at the end of the book of Matthew in the New Testament in chapter 28. These are some of the last words of Jesus and some of the last words recorded in the end of this chapter in the Gospel of Matthew. And this is the command that God has given to us, the church. So I'm going to read from there in just a moment, if you want to go ahead and turn there. So we're going to talk about stepping out in faith and the Great Commission being that compelling moment. Here's the big idea I want you to walk away with is this. Stepping out in faith pushes us to advance the mission of God. So stepping out in faith, it kind of gives us that nudge. It's you are taking the step. Now, we might help encourage each other, but you stepping out in faith actually pushes. It requires, it causes you to advance the mission of God, but you have to take that step. And that's what we're going to focus on tonight. So now that hopefully you're there, Matthew 28, let's read verses 18 through 20. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, it's also on the screen. You can follow along, and then after we read, I'm going to pray. So here's Matthew saying that Jesus came near and said to them, and then we hear the words of Jesus, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. But I pray that tonight it would be so clear to us that the blindfold would be removed. If someone is unsure about what it means to follow Jesus, that you would just kind of remove those scales from our eyes tonight. Help us to see more clearly what it means to follow you in mission. Lord, it's not a surprise. Now, there are surprises along the journey, but the invitation should be clear. So, Lord, give us the courage we need to step out in faith, to follow you in a life of faith every day, wherever you're sending us. Lord, thank you for giving us faith to believe. Lord, I pray that you would empower us tonight, that you would embolden us tonight. Help us to leave with a stronger faith in you. Or give us clarity now around this vision of mission. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question then, as you think about faith and ask ourselves this, why do we need to step out in faith? Like, why is it required to take that step of faith? Why do we need to step out in faith? Because we see in the scripture we just read, God commands us to go. So the command to go comes with the necessity of faith. I want to say that again. The command to go comes with the necessity of faith. Faith is a requirement for the Christian life. Some of you are about to start school, and so you're looking at the syllabus, hopefully, and you're thinking about the requirements of this course. Do I need the textbook? How many papers am I going to have to write? What are the exams like? All those kind of things. You're thinking about the requirements. Some of you are in the job hunt right now. Maybe you're already in the kind of industry, you're in a field, but you're looking at all the requirements of this job. And like the going joke right now is like, you know, you're out of school 2 years, but every job requires like 10 years experience. And the requirements is like, okay, you need like a master's degree, and you need 42 years of experience, and we're going to pay you minimum wage. But, you know, it's like, well, that's super encouraging. Some of you may feel that. But like, you know what it is like to look for a requirement in certain places. There's not many requirements when it comes to Christianity because Jesus does basically everything for us. There is one, and that is faith. The requirement of the Christian life is faith because really that's all we can bring to the table, faith and obedience, because God has done the rest. So we have to see that this command to go comes with the necessity of faith because go means he's sending you, and our God is a sending God. We talk about that at City View all the time. And a lot of times God is sending you a place you don't always know all the details. You don't always know exactly where he's sending you. So it requires faith to go because you don't know every step of the journey. But you know that he's going with you. That's what he says here at the end of this verse. I'm with you. I commanded you to teach all these things. But remember, I'm always with you. And so the command to go is never to go alone. We take the step of faith. The Christian life is a life of faith. It means trusting in and following God all of our life. And so let me unpack a couple things. It's not just saving faith. That saving faith is a requirement. Like we put our faith in Christ. There's a saving faith that now becomes a conversion experience. But it's also a daily faith, a practice of placing faith in God daily to guide you, to lead you. So when I'm talking about faith tonight, I don't just mean saving faith, but I mean a daily faith, a daily decision to follow God wherever he leads you. And that's what the Christian life is all about. Over and over and over again, placing our faith in God daily to lead us. So we have to step out in faith in order to begin, but really it becomes walking in faith is one way that a lot of people talk about the Christian life. So there's two sides to that coin. We're going to talk about some tonight, but it does require you to step out in faith. And there are times, and some of you are there or have been there recently, when there's a decision, there's a moment, there's something in front of you, and it requires faith for you to like step into this moment. And those are seasons of our life. Like, do we make this move? Do I take this job? Do I enter into or into this relationship? Some like big life decision, and that requires a step of faith into whatever that is. But it's not just those moments, because a lot of times really faithful Christians do well in the big moments, but we get eaten alive in the small moments. And that's where sanctification really happens. It's just in that daily walking in faith. And so a Christian life is learning to walk in faith. Yes, you need courage to step out in faith, but we also just need like just that faithfulness to walk. Walk in faith every single day, even when it's not glamorous, even when it's mundane. Like, we want to paint this awesome, exciting picture and vision of what mission is here at City View, but I don't want to confuse you or give you false hope. Following Jesus is about mundane obedience in the most ordinary areas of life, which is super hard when you live in Atlanta, because that means like I got to obey God in traffic. And I'm like, can I get a pass here? Or that means even with the most annoying coworker or the most frustrating family member, like God requires walking in faith in every area of your life. A lot of us feel good when we can check like the big things. But what he's saying, sanctification and daily life and advancing God's mission is faithfulness every single day, even in the small things. So then we have to ask ourselves, how do we walk in faith? That's what I want us to think about tonight. A couple ways that we can consider how we can walk in faith. So tonight, as we explore some different places in Scripture, this series is a little different. We're not just walking through one book. We're kind of bouncing around the idea of mission, thinking about advancing God's mission this month. But tonight, I want us to think about, as we kind of explore these couple areas, what is the essence and foundation of our faith? Like, not just for Christianity, I mean for you personally as well, for us collectively as a church. What is the very essence and what is the foundation of our faith? So we're talking about a couple ways that I believe, like if we're doing these things, it helps us walk in faith, like living a life of doing that every day. The first thing we have to do is to put our trust in God. So you can go to Hebrews. Hebrews is actually a book we're going to explore more this fall. But tonight I'm just going to show you a couple verses in the book of Hebrews. It's a really cool letter and part of the New Testament, and the verses will be on the screen. But in Hebrews chapter 11, I think verse 1 is going to be on the screen, but I'm actually going to read verses 1 through 3. We're going to see what it looks like to have faith. Like, what even is faith? Where do we put our faith? Hebrews 11, the author says it well. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. So it's faith because it's not always visible. And then the author of Hebrews reminds us, for by it our ancestors won God's approval. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from the things that are not visible. So faith is very much the foundation of Christian faith. We believe in a God we can't necessarily tangibly see. We can see how God works, but we don't always see him. So we're placing our faith in this God. We're believing all these things by faith. So Hebrews 11, 1, faith is the reality of what is hoped for. It's the proof of what is not seen. And faith becomes a reality when we step into it. And we'll see that more tonight. There's a couple pastors that I've heard define what like walking in faith looks like, and I found these helpful to me. Charles Stanley, he's recently passed, but he was a pastor here in Atlanta for a really long time, had a really faithful ministry, and he explained it this way. When he's talking about walking in faith, it means that we have confidence in the fact that God will do exactly what he says he'll do and will fulfill every promise he's made. So what does it mean to walk in faith? It means you put your trust in God. It means that you believe in the integrity and the character of God, that I have confidence that God's going to do exactly what he says he's going to do, that every promise he's made, he will fulfill. There's another pastor I love. His name's Tony Evans. I'll never preach as good as Tony Evans, but I love listening to him. And you can YouTube him, and I don't feel any insecurity about that. If you want to listen to a better preacher than me, there are a lot. He's definitely near the top of the list. Tony Evans says this way, faith is acting like God is telling the truth. So when we live in faith, it means I live and I act in such a way that I really do believe that God is telling the truth. That what he said in his word is actually true, and my life reflects that. Walking in faith means I'm walking in that confidence. I'm trusting the integrity and the character of God. So the first way that we walk in faith is we put our trust in God. And you have to do that. And I know that sounds so elementary, but there are so many areas of life where functionally we don't do that well. I don't just mean where is your saving faith. I'm asking you where is your daily faith. Because faith means trusting God, believing his integrity, taking steps of obedience, even when you don't know every detail of what lies ahead. That's what walking in faith looks like. It's kind of like to me in some grocery stores. I don't know if you've ever been in grocery stores later at night. Sometimes they try to save energy. And so when it's not peak business, there are some aisles that are not lit up until you walk down them. But when you start to walk down the aisle, like the lights come on, like the further you walk. And then they go off behind you. Some of you play the game, like, can you get the light on? And that's kind of this picture to me of what walking in faith looks like. Like sometimes I can see a day ahead. Sometimes you can see a week ahead. Sometimes you can see it feels like years ahead. But walking in faith means taking the next step of obedience and allowing God to turn the light on when he's ready for you to see it. And that's what it looks like when you walk in faith. That I can't see every step, but I know where my confidence is, and I know what kind of God he is, and I know the character that God has, and I trust in him. So even when I can't see step number 8, I can see 1 and 2, so I'm going to have the faith to take step 1 and 2. Walking in faith means you're letting God turn the light on when he's ready to show you the path. And we know God's word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. But that doesn't mean, like, sometimes it's like a flashlight, sometimes like a spotlight. Sometimes it feels like in here and all the lights are on. But faith means regardless of how much or how little I can see, my faith is trusting God to light the path when I need to walk. So that's what walking in faith looks like. I think that's what faith really is. But we have to notice something. Faith has an object. So our faith must be in God. That's what I'm asking you to trust in. So it's not blind faith like we said before, because we've seen God work. We've seen God work in Scripture. Like if you really believe these things, like God did some really amazing things that we have recorded in his word in the Bible. Most of you hopefully have seen God work in your life. And you can reflect, you can look back on it. I can remember when God did this thing for me. You've seen it in others' lives. You've seen it in the life of our church. It's not like when some people in your life, you know, like, I'll believe it when I see it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be there this week. Oh, yeah, I'm going to come to this thing. Or I'm not going to forget. And it's like, okay, I'm going to trust you to show up when you really do. Because there's so many people that have let you down over and over and over again. And if we're not careful, we'll project that onto God. But God will never let you down. God always shows up. If there's anybody not showing up in the equation, it's us, not him. And so you can trust in a God who's always going to show up. It's not blind faith because he's literally recorded everything for you. Now, we talk sometimes about practicing our faith in accordance to God's will. And there are two things that when it comes to God's will. God has a revealed will. This is his word. The word of God is his revealed will to us. We know what God says and what he wants. Then we also have God's concealed will, which are those things that he wants us to know, but we have to know that by knowing him. There's no book of 1 Dustin. I really wish there was, and he would just tell me, but it's not there. And some of you seek counsel. You want to know, like, when am I going to get married? Or should I take this job? Do I do this thing? That's called faith. That's part of the journey. God wants intimacy with you, and that requires you placing your faith in him and trusting him. But here's the thing. When I counsel people, it's like, don't come at me asking for God's concealed will if you're not obeying his revealed will. He's already said the basic stuff. So, like, if you're not taking care of that, why is he going to trust you with more? So basic, mundane faith just means applying God's word to these small areas of your life. And then over time, he's going to light the path, and it becomes so apparent. And then you look back, and you're like, man, this journey was amazing. I never would have taken it. I had no idea I was in a maze, but God brought me to the other side. That's like walking in faith. That means the object of my faith is God and his word. And I've seen him work before. So it's not like somebody that I don't have to trust because I've seen him, and you're asking God, do it again. So the question then, what is the substance of your faith? If we're thinking practically. Here's some examples. The substance of your faith, and I don't mean like the object of your faith in saving faith, because some of you could be walking with Jesus, but still have some jacked up daily faith. You could be trusting in yourself right now, in your ability, your skills, your knowledge, your whatever, your charisma. You could be trusting yourself. Some of you, your faith is in money. Like, I have a good bank account. I got a good job. I feel secure. I have security. Some of you, like, I wish that was a challenge. You're like, please, God, make me be tempted because right now I got no money. All right, so that might not be you. But for some of you, it could be in money or it's the pursuit of money. For some of you, it's your parents. You're secure. At the end of the day, like, it's okay because my dad's going to come through. Like, praise the Lord if you've got parents that can do that for you. That's awesome. But that can be unhealthy in the sense that your faith is in, like, this backup plan or in this friend or in this relationship or in this community. Your faith in any, those are good things. They aren't wrong things. But if your faith is in that thing, now that has become an idol and that's above God and that's not a good thing. So what is the substance of your faith? Your health, your savings, your ability, a person, something else? Or is God the substance of your faith? So functionally, practically, you ask yourself this, what am I putting my trust in? I mean, if I were to examine your life and we were to say, like, okay, by the decisions you make and the steps you're taking, I can say this person's putting their trust in God. because they're doing things. I don't mean illogical because the elevator doesn't go all the way to the top and some of you like need to develop and you're mature. I don't mean that. I'm saying illogical in the sense it doesn't make sense to the world, but it makes sense to a believer because it requires faith for this thing to happen. That's what I mean. Is the substance of your faith controllable and it's in front of me and I can handle it and went A, B, C, D and this all worked and it was sequential and it's good? Or was there some A, D, B, E, like skip to Z, God, I don't know how I got here. Like, what does your daily life look like? What is the substance of your faith? Are there elements in your life where you point and say, this wouldn't happen if God wasn't who he says he was? Because if not, functionally, you may not be trusting God as much as you think you are. I think it's important for us to see that faith is a lifestyle, not an event. Now, there becomes an event in time when your heart puts faith in Jesus and you become a follower of Jesus for the first time. Sometimes that's like this awesome thing. Sometimes it's gradual. Everybody's got a different story. But what I'm saying is faith is a lifestyle. Living by faith must be our way of life, just like in my daily decisions. Now, that doesn't mean you over-spiritualize, you get in the car and say, God, by faith, I want you to lead me to the restaurant I should have for lunch because I know there's an appointment waiting. I don't mean like that. Like, God may orchestrate you to talk to someone at lunch, but I'm not saying don't pray about where you go to lunch, but like sometimes we can overhype, over-spiritualize, and it's like, maybe just go to lunch. All right, I think you're overthinking it. All right, just eat, and if you like that kind of food, maybe go there. Like, okay, let me just, that's easy, okay? But what I mean is just in those every, like, day-to-day decision, am I placing my faith in God to guide me? Like, am I living in such a way that you can see that functionally he's the object of my faith? And then the second thing, once you've really put your trust in God, and you realize it's not in yourself, that you are really trying to pursue and follow God daily. You're walking a life of faith daily. Then the second step, like of what this looks like, is you obey God no matter the cost. Because when you start to walk by faith, there's times when obedience becomes costly. And you've got a decision to make. Am I going to take this step, even if it's going to cost me something? Or that step of faith, will God come through? Like, I'm not sure. But don't miss this tonight. Okay, hear this. Faith allows us to experience God. And some of us aren't experiencing God because we aren't living by faith. Faith is about dependence. It's living in such a way that requires God to come through for us. Faith is about living in such a way and taking steps of obedience that if God did not exist, your life would not go on. If you could pursue business as usual without the existence of God, you're not living by faith. So faith allows us to actually experience God in the way he intended us to. So practically, that means faith is giving even when you don't know how you're going to make ends meet because God says to give. Faith is having a hard conversation even when you don't know how the truth's going to be received. Faith is trying something new even when you're not sure how you'll do. Faith is about taking risks, trusting God, and walking in obedience. And it takes faith for us to fulfill the mission of God because faith puts us in positions for God to do what only he can do. You won't fulfill the mission of God if we don't take steps of faith. We have to see these being connected. Faith is a way of life for Christians, but I do believe it's absolutely essential to mission. We cannot fulfill the mission of God if we never step out in faith. If God's mission requires faith and we never step out, you can guarantee the mission won't be fulfilled through you. Now, God says he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Here's the cool thing. God's going to get the glory. God's going to build his church. God's going to call people to himself. And at the end of the day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But the invitation, the mission, says you get to be a part of helping somebody do that. I'm going to use you to bring somebody to my feet, but it's going to take you stepping out in faith to be a part of that. So faith allows you to experience God and to fulfill his mission. I think many of you may not be experiencing God because you're living too comfortably. You're not doing anything that requires God to act on your behalf. And I don't mean like you presume upon the will of God. Like, I'm going to jump because God's going to catch me. I'm like, no, you're an idiot. Please, that's stupid. Okay, that's not exactly at all what the Bible is saying. I'm going to sell it all. Like, God doesn't necessarily mean like literally sell your possessions and start walking down the street. And like, whoa, I think you missed the essence of the message here. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. All right, please don't hear what I'm not saying and do something ridiculous. It has to be led by the Spirit. It still needs to be grounded in God's Word. It doesn't need to be something you came up with. But if you're prompted by the Spirit, if it's already been commanded in God's Word and yet we're not doing it, then we're not living by faith. We're living too comfortably and we're not living a life that allows God to act, to come through, and then to push mission through us. So maybe that's why our lack of faith is preventing us from seeing God move. So maybe God's not moving in your life, or maybe he's not moving in the life of our church because we don't have enough faith. And we're not living in faith and saying, God, we're going to trust you to do this. It's a big deal to take that step of obedience. I'll hear it this way. Our faith activates the power of God. Now, that doesn't mean that you can move God. That doesn't mean that God is like a servant at our beck and call. But let me say it again. Our faith activates the power of God. When we step out in faith, we put ourselves in a position to see the power of God on display. It's going to be on display regardless, but your step of obedience allows you to participate in it. And a lot of us miss God moving in our lives because we're too scared or too comfortable. And we don't take the step of faith when he leads us. It reminds me of one of my favorite stories, and it's a really long story, but I'm going to read it all. In Daniel chapter 3, if you're in the stage of life where you're trying to compile a list of future names for your children, this would be a great place to go. All right, so Daniel, the book of Daniel chapter 3, there's a king, his name was Nebuchadnezzar, which is a really cool name. And then there was these three guys who were faithful followers of what we would know now as like followers of Jesus. They believed in God, and they wanted to obey God's law and God's rule and not this king. So I'm going to jump into the story in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 12. I think it'll be on the screen, but you can read along. I'm just going to read you the whole story, maybe a little commentary along the way. So there's these guys that are going to come on the scene. It's kind of a fun story. So there are some Jews you have appointed to manage the province of Babylon. Their names are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men have ignored you, the king. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you've set up. So we have some people reporting back to King Nebuchadnezzar, some Jewish men who wanted to follow God. They've been put in a position now where they're kind of stuck. Do you follow God and ignore this king's rules, or do they suffer the consequences of the king? Reporting is coming back to Nebuchadnezzar. That's where we're at here. They've ignored his rules. They're not going to worship the golden statue. And so in verse 13, in a furious rage, Nebuchadnezzar gave orders to bring in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Again, I mean, that's just some names, just if you're thinking, and like if you want a biblical name that's kind of popular, this would be cool to name your kid. Maybe pray about that. Okay, so these men, they were brought before the king. Then Nebuchadnezzar asked them, he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my gods or worship the gold statue I've set up? Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the drum, and every kind of music, fall down and worship the statue I made. But if you don't worship it, you will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God who can rescue from my power? He has no idea what he's saying, but King Nebuchadnezzar is very serious about his glory and his power. He's going to learn a lesson pretty soon. So now these men are really in a position, like we know the story if you're familiar with it. If not, this is cool resolution in a moment. But think about them. Like their obedience, at this point, they were distanced from the person they were directly disobeying. But that distance has been closed. They're standing face to face with the person they're denying, his rules, his law. And now that, like, yeah, we take a stand, which some of you have seen that before. Like, yeah, I'm going to take a stand. But now you realize, and they're like, this stand's going to cost you. And now you're at the moment of, like, decision. We're going to do this no matter what. And then sometimes, you know, like, some people at school, like, oh, I'm going to do this. And I don't care if the teacher's looking. And then teacher or coach finds out and they're like, they're not going to do it, right? That's kind of like this moment. Are you really going to follow through with obedience that's going to cost you? They're before the king. This is a moment of decision. Are you going to follow God? Are you going to bow to this king? You try to save your life? And this is a big deal. A lot could have happened. And then in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. Isn't that cool? Because the decision was already made. We've already answered. Now that's some resolution. That's living with conviction. Verse 17, if the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. That's faith. If God really is who he says he is, we have confidence in that king. You can throw us in the fire, but he's going to save us anyway. But notice what their willingness of obedience in verse 18. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know we'll not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. That is one of the most powerful moments in Scripture. We trust God to save us, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to disobey him. And what that means is they have faith, but they have no entitlement. And that's what a life of following Jesus looks like. Faith without entitlement. Some of us have faith, but it comes with entitlement. And we think God owes us. And no, they said, I'm going to step out in faith because I trust you. But even if you don't, I'm still going to be with you. And that's the kind of obedience that God is asking of us. And then Nebuchadnezzar in verse 19 is filled with rage. He's furious. He's already angry, and now they defy him to his face. So the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He gave orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than was customary. So it was already pretty hot. Now he says, turn it up. You're about to feel my wrath. He commanded some of his best soldiers in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. So some of his strongest men to tie these guys up so they won't escape. So these men in their trousers, robes, head coverings, and other clothes were tied up. So they tied up fully clothed. They're thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. And since the king's command was so urgent and the furnace was extremely hot, the raging flames killed those men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up. So it's so hot that it scorched the men that he sent to throw in. So his soldiers were now collateral damage. So you can just imagine, this is a fiery furnace. These guys are tied up. It immediately took those guys away. And then these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the furnace of blazing fire. But then in verse 24, King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in alarm. And he said to his advisors, didn't we throw 3 men bound into the fire? Yes, of course, your majesty, they replied to the king. He exclaimed, look, I see 4 men not tied, walking around in the fire unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of blazing fire. And he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, your servants of the Most High God, come out. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire when the satraps, prefects, governors, and the king's advisors gathered around. So all the leaders gathered around in awe. They saw that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men. Not a hair of their heads was singed. Their robes were unaffected, and there was no smell of fire on them. Have you ever been close to a bonfire and you're like, I don't think I got too close. I don't think I'll be good. And you go home and you're like, my goodness, I can't wait to shower. I smell terrible. You know, people are like, where were you tonight? Like that, they weren't even downwind from the smoke. I mean, they're in the middle and they can't even smell it. You see the miracle that's happening here. Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, praise to the God. Think about that change. That's not a very long, a few verses, and look at the change of his heart. Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel, and he rescued his servants who trusted him. They violated the king's command and risked their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I issue a decree that any of my people, nation, or language who says anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be torn limb from limb and his house made a garbage dump. For there is no other God who's able to deliver like this. Then the king rewarded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And that should inspire us toward obedience. That should encourage us to take a step of faith and say that even if you don't work this out like I think you will, I still trust you. And I still know you're going to come through. I think that's where we're at right now. I think in the life of our church. Super excited about what God's doing. We had a couple take a step of faith and move last week. We had another couple taking a step of faith and move here, and some others you're going to learn about. It's super exciting when you see people step out and say, God, I don't know every detail of this journey you're leading on, but I know enough to say yes. And I think that's what's important about faith. Sometimes that even begins with saving faith. You don't know everything about the Bible and God to have enough faith to say yes to Jesus. And as you follow him, you don't have to know everything there is about following him, or even the next step he asks for you. You just have enough faith to say yes to the next step. And you're trusting that you see God is going to work. We see God activate, our faith activate his power. And so this is what I'm challenging you to do. We have to do the same as we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I've heard it said like this. You put your yes on the table, and you allow God to put it on the map. And so you say, I'm saying yes to you, God. If you want me to move, you want me to stay, if I'm to take this job or do this thing, you put the yes where you want it, but my yes belongs to you. And so this step of faith, obeying no matter the cost, says that, that could be distance from family. It could mean starting over. It could mean having a hard conversation. It could mean something that's challenging, you know. And now all this unexpected blessing may come on the other side, but at this point, you don't know all those things yet. You're just trusting that he will. In the Old Testament, we see the story of Isaac. We talked about that in a previous sermon series. You're trusting that there's a ram in the thicket, that God's going to provide what you need, and you're going to take a step of faith. But even if he doesn't, he's still good. That's the kind of boldness and obedience you see all throughout Scripture, and that's what God wants his people to do even today. I think that's been true for City View. That's our story. There are so many unexpected blessings that have come in our life by saying yes for God sending us here. There are things that I never even knew existed that we enjoy here that we would not have we not said yes to all this. I didn't know almost all of you. And I hope there's a lot more of you I get to meet that we wouldn't have had we not said yes to all the things that we get to do today. And so as we're thinking about obedience and activating the power of God and taking steps of faith and trusting God to use us no matter the cost, I want us to think about, like, are we really living this thing out? Let's not rob God of the opportunity to use us because we're unwilling to take bold steps of obedience and faith. This is me talking to you individually, whether I know you or not tonight, but this is also me, like, proclaiming for our church. The season that I believe God is taking us into is a season of faith. It's a season that we're going to have to step out and do some things that we say, like, God, if you don't come through, it won't happen. God, like, if you don't build this church, if you don't open these doors, then it won't happen. But you know what? You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You literally own it all so you can do it. You're already going to save them. Why not use us? So this is the season that I believe God is stepping us into. We think about advancing the mission. Let's not rob God of the opportunity to use us because we're unwilling to take bold steps of faith. Let's take big, bold steps of obedience with no entitlement and trust God with whatever results he brings. If we go back to Hebrews real quickly, the beginning of the book, or beginning of the chapter 11, we talked about what faith was. And then Hebrews 11 actually is kind of known as a hall of faith. The author gives us a lot of examples of people who live by faith. But in verse 6, there's something pivotal, and I think it applies to what we're talking about right now. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says this, "Now without faith, it's impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I don't want that to be true of you or us. I want you to have faith in God to save you, but also daily faith to live a life of adventure. We pray that for our kids. I want my kids to have a boring testimony in the sense that, like, they didn't have to live a radical life and have this great conversion later. Now, it's never boring when someone goes from death to life. Like, that's a big deal. Everybody has a powerful testimony. But our prayer is for our kids to have a boring testimony, a boring conversion experience, but an adventurous life of following Jesus. And that's what I'd love for us to experience here. Like, we don't maybe have to have this radical, crazy, like, God moved the mountains. Totally open to him doing that, okay? Just to be honest with you. But it could just be like this adventurous, faithful life of following Jesus, and he just does this awesome thing through us over time, but we step out in faith when he leads us. Most of you know, as I mentioned, our kids, we have 3 kids. I love being a dad. It's really, honestly, one of my favorite things in the world. And our kids are at fun ages right now. 9, almost 7, and 15 months. One of the things we like to do is play in the pool. And we didn't get to do as much this summer as we would have liked, but we love playing in the pool. It's a little harder now for our oldest, too, but when they were younger, one of the things they loved to do, my son and my daughter, especially my son, but they like to come to the side of the pool and, like, jump into your arms. They're getting a little big for that. I'm getting a little older, maybe not as strong as I used to be. But in those early times, you know, they're 1, 2, 3, 4. That's a fun season. I mean, just, you know, take off, jump to your arms. It's super fun. But if you've ever seen that before, sometimes they get to the edge and, like, you can see their kind of nerves. Like, are you going to catch me? Can I trust you? I can't swim yet. Like, I don't know, you know. And there's just, like, moment of, like, contemplation. And they jump. And then, you know, they jump and they get bolder and bolder. And now, like, my son would be like, you know, he would run 100 yards and, like, tackle me into the water. I'm like, too bold, too bold. But, you love seeing them take those steps of faith. At first, they're skeptical, and you see the nerves, and they muster up the courage. And then when they know I can handle it, it's really cool because they trusted me. They trusted my integrity as their dad to catch them. They trust my character, my strength. And in turn, they got to experience the thrill of jumping into the pool, which feels like a big jump when you're little. It's like 3 feet, you know, but it feels so far. And that's a picture of our faith in God. It starts small, and we're nervous, and we're not sure what it's going to look like. But over time, we learn to jump into the arms of our Father and say, like, I will follow you in mission. Like, that felt scary before, but what felt scary before, hopefully a few years from now, doesn't seem so scary anymore. And we've taken steps of obedience in our family over time. When you look back, and it's like, I can't believe we did that. But now it's just such a small picture of, like, the steps he's leading us into. Because our faith grows over time. And our courage grows over time. Because this is what's cool about God. The closer you get to him, the more you realize you can trust him. And the closer you get to him, the more it makes me want to jump. Because I've seen God move before, the more it makes me want to step out in faith. Now, you got to be careful, because then you don't want to be presumptuous and entitled and claim something God never promised you. All right, so I don't want to lead you that way. But it does get me excited about adventures, like almost like an adrenaline junkie of, like, lead us to jump, God, because I can't wait to see how you're going to provide. I can't wait to see who you're going to bring, or the door that's going to open, or this thing's going to happen, because I really believe you're going to do it. Because I've seen you do it before, and I'm asking you to do it again. So we're not afraid to take steps of obedience. So let me ask you, what's keeping you from experiencing God? If faith allows you to experience God, what's keeping you from experiencing him? Is it a lack of faith? Is it inability to jump? Or is it these small mundane moments where you're just not living by faith and trusting him daily? Are you walking in faith? Maybe tonight, as I'm preaching, as you're hearing the word and you're thinking, you ask yourself, is there an area where God's calling you to step out in faith on mission in this next season? Is there a conversation you have, a role you need to step into, a place you need to go? Is there a yes you need to put on the table? Is God leading you to step out in faith? What does the obedience look like? The band's going to come back up and sing, and I'm just going to encourage you to respond. You can respond in prayer where you're at. You can come and find me if you want to pray. But as we sing, I want you to contemplate, am I walking and living by faith? Is your trust really in God? Like, really, functionally, what is the substance of your faith? And then, are you willing to obey God no matter the cost? Is your lack of faith preventing you from experiencing God? And what at City View, what's preventing us from experiencing God here? Like, we say this all the time. This is how we started our journey, and I'm going to remind you, we're coming back to this. We say all the time, why not Atlanta? People would always ask, why are you going to Atlanta? Why Atlanta? I'd say, why not Atlanta? And I can give you 100 reasons why God is here. Why not Atlanta? And I want to say the same thing to you. God is going to move. Why not you? Why not us? He's going to get the glory. The church is going to grow. People are coming to know Jesus. Why not use us? Because obedience and faith is the only thing we bring to the table. We got to ask ourselves, why not us? And so is there something that's preventing you from being used by God because you haven't surrendered that to him? And if so, I'm just going to challenge you to lay it at his feet. Give it to him and say, God, give me the courage to trust you. And it may be a little jump into the pool to start with, but over time, you'll be cannonballing into the mission of God. And that's what I want City View to look like. People who do radical things for Jesus with wisdom, and we just see God work. Because we put ourselves in a position that, like, if God doesn't do it, it won't happen. And we look around and we talk about each other and like, can you believe God did this again? And that'll fire you up to continue on mission. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would fill this room with people who are bold in mission, who have the courage to step in faith wherever you lead them. Lord, it's not always easy. We don't have to know every step of the way. But as we're walking down the path, you light up the feet just as we need to see. So, Lord, give us courage and confidence. Lord, help us not to be people who hold back and are timid and don't want to take risk for you. Lord, we want to be wise. We want to be calculated. But, Lord, help us to be bold. Help us to be brave. Help us to be people who will live with reckless abandon to the mission of God. And in turn, God, we're asking you to move. On behalf of City View, God, I'm asking you to fill this room, Lord, with families. I'm asking you to create an opportunity for us to meet at a different place in the future and at a different time. I'm asking you to open doors in relationship and in the community and toward mission that only you could get the credit for. There's no networking, there's no conversation, there's nothing but you that is gonna allow these things to become true. We're trusting you to do that. Lord, help us to be people who are encouraged to step out in faith and obedience to mission because we've seen you move over and over and over again. I pray this year we see people come to know Jesus on campus and in our neighborhoods. We see people grow in discipleship and read their Bibles for the first time. And I pray that someone in this room has the privilege of baptizing a friend. Lord, we're asking you to move this year in ways that we can't even imagine. I want our church to look so different next year that only you could get the credit for what's happened. Lord, help us to grow our faith, not in a presumptuous way, not in an entitled way, but in a humble act of obedience. or grow our faith. Help us to follow you. God, we're asking you to do what only you can. So as we sing and as we worship, God, we want to give it all to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.